This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on The Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi, y'all. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ennis standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as...
This is Bill Schultz.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
All right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, sitting here just talking about all kinds of things this morning on the WPTF Weekend Gardener from J.E. Wumble and Sons. And Gary Pierce has joined us. I don't know where Rufus is. Where's Rufus going now?
I do not know.
Well, he's in here amongst all of this stuff.
That's right.
All of the everything you could think of you ever wanted is here.
Well, I'm just here to tell you that I am so glad to get to meet Gary.
I am
because
too.
Thank you. It's my Gary pleasure. Gary is like...
No wonder Sue likes him so much.
I know. Well, he's well-rounded in that he doesn't just have like knowledge of one thing. He's just got everything, and it's
breadth and depth.
Yes, and it's refreshing to be able to sit and have conversation with people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been my pleasure. There's so many people own that have their phones or their computers or their tablets and.
Well,
all
that's fine,
sort of
too. They can listen to us that way.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking they keep it in front of them all the time. Right.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
8 hours a day.
And so just to be able to chat with someone that's so knowledgeable. And I appreciate that. The pleasure is mine. The pleasure
is
mine.
I really appreciate it. We're in real trouble when we have – people who are not knowledgeable on this show.
Well, well,
and that, that's really never happened.
Well, no. I tell you, having taught school, you know, as extension agent, it wasn't as much because that was years ago. But for the last 12 years, it's been a really serious change. And watching the students, I'm really glad. I know this is not gardening related, but I'm glad to see that things are changing right now as far as people in the schools, the school system in the entire state is looking, and all the states are looking at the impact that phones have on people, especially the students, and their ability to learn or how they learn. And I think it is of major importance that we do that.
And, you know, saying that, I talked with one of our associate ministers yesterday from church, and he was saying how important he feels like it is just to get the young people out.
Yes.
And that they went out and walked around a block, and he told them to all bring one thing back.
Yes.
Like mentally or you know, physically.
Yes.
Bring it back, talk about it, tell why, that sort of thing. And it was like they went, wow. They couldn't have their phone. They couldn't have anything with them. They had to just concentrate on being.
And it was a major revelation for
them. And it, but see, the thing about it is, you know, what does it have to do with gardening? What does it have to do with nature? It has everything to do with it. Because we went over to the fairground yesterday, and probably the best gift that I brought back from that fairground was this little guy, probably about 10 years old, reminded me of my brother when he was that age.
Right.
He walked by a rose, and I was looking at him at just the right second. He stopped. He smelled that rose and stood there and looked at it and walked on. Now, I'm going to tell you, he'll never forget that.
Stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
You know, it's just acknowledging nature.
Right
at that moment.
And you can't do it if that phone is stuck in front of your face. But that is the beauty of gardening. And gardeners take it for granted because they're out there all the time. And all the benefits and all the studies that come out and say how the plants release chemicals and help you, and your exposure to pollen gives you immunity, and all the things that they take for granted because they've done it their whole lives.
Yeah.
We have a generation of people that are at high risk of not understanding that. And we do need to take the time to get them to come out and smell the roses, whether it's at the fair, whether it's going to Womble's Hardware and seeing the plants out front there, or whether it's going out in nature or in your landscape at your house.
Right, or getting seeds here and growing your own.
Growing your own. Faces. And even high school, you said a 10-year-old, you saw it was about a 10-year-old child, and you would expect for a younger child to come to an understanding of something like that, and it's kind of expected. But the high school students have the same reactions.
Right.
They have and it is not as expected because when you look at those, they look like adults.
Yeah.
They're fully grown, and then to see them act like little children when they have those plants that they're growing, and then what can I do? Can I take this home? Can I show my mama? Can I? Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Is. You had a list. Where are we on the list?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that people don't think about as much this time of year, but in this county and parts east and south of us, fire ants are an issue.
Oh, they're horrible.
Fire ants are an issue. But this is a good time to strike a major blow on fire ants because they're getting ready to go into a dormant season too. And so baits, if you can hit them with a bait this time of the year, they'll take that bait back into the mound, and the baits typically prevent them from raising young, and that cuts out next generations, and it weakens them so much that in the spring they're not there.
Professor, you moved up a little bit. You got fire ant problems? Okay, all right.
That's great.
A lot of people do. I mean,
they're so bad.
I heard that armadillos are really in a bunch of counties in North Carolina. That's another pest.
They are armadillos
and groundhogs.
Skunks and groundhogs.
Oh,
I've had several calls this summer, but for groundhogs.
They'll
in Harnett
eat
County.
A veggie garden away in no time.
It's one guy told me that he watched a groundhog climb up the fence post, go over his fence, and then crawl up the butter bean post to eat his butter beans.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
How about that?
I would expect a squirrel, But a big old fat groundhog, just
must have been hungry.
It was a good visual picture he painted.
Now, Rufus, before the news, you wanted to bring up something, a very sore subject. Although you talk about it every once in a while, is kale. Are you for or against kale? Do you like kale?
I lean more toward the college side.
Amen. I'm trying to find some way to eat those stinking things.
Maybe if you chase them with those donut holes.
I'm trying to think about it. Maybe you can fry the devil out of it. Cook it into submission. It seems to be the popular thing now for everybody to go kale. I say, oh, kale.
It sounds very Shakespearean. You know, so I'm speaking of the devil, we found a bunch of stuff, interesting plants out there. The devil's backbone. Have you seen that plant?
Is that Aurelia? Is that Aurelia spinosa?
Euphorbia.
Okay. Because Aurelia we call the devil's walking cane.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The devil's in a lot of things.
Telling you. It's in
like it or not.
It's in this show, and we got to get it out. So, Rufus, you want one of those,
well,
don't you?
I want one, and Phil is grooming one for me. And I have a large Harry Walker's Harry Lauder's walking stick.
As do I. Yeah.
And it is just phenomenal. I think I've got one of the biggest ones in the country.
And that's an extraordinary plant, especially when they lose their leaves.
Okay. Yes.
They look so Halloweenish. Maybe you should decorate yours, General.
Well, I decorate a big grass, some flaming grass every year.
For Christmas.
And Harry Lauder's walking stick would be another good one. Yeah. You put a lot of lights on it.
And that was named, Harry Lauder was a British comedian who carried a stick from
crooked,
this tree.
Crooked walking stick.
A contorted filbert.
Right.
And he performed for the troops during World War II.
I did not know for which that magnificent plant
was named after him. So it's a filbert tree. It's a really the most interesting thing. And I planted one not long after Gary Dornberg died. I was got a Gary's tree.
Yeah, in honor of Gary.
He was and we do that, you know.
Right.
We pass in the South. We pass along plants, and we plant memorials.
I have several names. Exactly. For some of my bygone friends, in one side of the yard, pass along plants and friends I will remember through my plants. All my dogs too, Gary. I've put a camellia out in honor of every dog I've had.
Yeah. Right.
And do the ashes underneath them.
That is a great tradition to start.
Since we get off the subject all the time, Melissa has been at the beach all week, my wife, and she said she saw an English setter out there. She sat there and watched it on the beach yesterday.
Oh.
It was the seagulls. It would get in its position.
And point them.
Oh, man. That drove that dog crazy.
I know it did. She asked the owner if it had ever caught one because it chased them, too.
It wasn't supposed to do that.
But she said never caught one. I said, well, that's not what it's bred to do.
Right.
It's
just fun to chase them.
One time I had old Moses, our first bird dog, and we were on the Capitol one day, and Governor Hunt walked out, and he put a perfect point on Hunt. And old Hunt said, that's a good doggy.
How many English setters?
We've had a total of 7 over the years.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. Gosh, we're running out of time. This is just too fun. At J.E. Wumble and Sons in Lillington with the Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF of the Weekend Gardener. We're at J.E. Wumble and Sons. Your wife came over here and brought salve for Chris Hooks, who got into something. We can't figure out
He slid into
home plate.
Got,
well, I don't know what you dove into.
He's safe, by the way. Yeah.
I mean, do you think you caught something? Or
he's got an inflamed muscle.
He's got you some kind of Indonesian bacteria.
Flesh-eating amoeba.
Better watch out. Better smear on that salve as heavy as you can.
Well, we've gotten into the last couple of years experimenting with salves, using different types of herbs, and plantain is one of the ones that we found is great for bee stings, even if you don't make a salve out of it. You get stung with a bee outside garden, and we love bees. Mm-hmm. And we do everything, as Rufus said earlier, we plant in clover and everything under the sun for the bees, all right? But every now and then, one of them will turn on us, and we'll pinch him or something, and he'll sting us.
Well, are you talking about what we call planting?
No.
You say plantain?
Plantain is
plantain.
Like
plantain is a little
There's two kind of exotic.
There's two varieties that you typically see outgrowing. Usually around the barn where the ground is compacted is where you're going to see the one that has a spoon-shaped leaf and it grows flat to the ground. And you, if you get stung by a bee, you take part of that leaf, crush it up a little bit, and just wipe it on that sting, and it'll take that sting right out. The pain and all will just go away right there.
Well, let me tell you another one. The old-fashioned milkweed that grew up on the farm, that was good for bee stings and warts, anti-wart.
Yep.
Well, yarrow, comfrey, there are several different things that are good for skin that you can infuse in oil and get the goody out of it, so to speak, and then mix it with beeswax, ironically, to make the salve. Yep. And plantain is one of those ones that we found. It works for a lot of light skin irritations.
Can we grow plantain around here?
Absolutely.
It grows
as a weed.
Here.
People try to kill it.
I want to tell you what. I want to tell you something really. This is so funny that you're bringing this up. I used to, when I was little, and I was playing like house with a stove, like a little stove and a pot, I would pick that as my turnip greens.
Right, and you can't eat it.
Well,
you didn't try to cook them, did you?
No, but I would put them. I'd put a little bit of water in there and pretend I was cooking. But that's what I used for turnip greens.
That is creative.
So funny.
That's right.
There
are a lot of plants that grow wild in North Carolina.
Right.
In most of North Carolina that we can use, and it's funny to me. The more I look into it. All this war we've been waging against, quote-unquote, weeds, a lot of these now we're turning around and saying, wait a minute. A great example that everybody knows nowadays is Solidago. Goldenrod.
Oh, yeah.
Used to, when we were growing up, it was taboo. It was always, that's your allergies. But now we know it's not an allergen. The pollen is not an allergen.
And Irv Evans said that 40 years ago.
He did, and he was right. Yeah. And now there's varieties of that you can buy.
And they,
but it grows by the ditch.
Yeah,
too.
Everybody
they have looked
used to
so pretty
that.
This year, and they still do. The swamp daisies and the goldenrod.
And it's not the goldenrod, it's the ragweed.
Great pollinator, too. It is. They bloom at the same time, so you got falsely accused.
Yep.
But as far as the bees, that goldenrod is one of the best pollinators.
Yeah.
A lot of these plants now we're looking at with a different lens, and we're realizing instead of fighting it, wait a minute, there might be something we can get out of this thing that is actually pretty cool.
Now, we only got about a minute or so before.
I want to tell you about a new camellia that we have.
And we talked about it yesterday at the fair.
Yep, and it's a Southern Living collection. It's called Christmas Carol. It is a hybrid between a Japonica and a Sasanqua. It does very well. It has the best characters of both.
Small, dark green leaves.
Right, and it has red and white blooms, and it blooms at Christmas. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful.
Unlike the Yuletide, which we will have to change the
name.
That's
already blooming now, right? Yeah, that's what Joe the Bouncer just sent me a picture.
One of our characters on the show.
Yeah.
You know, Captain Kangaroo had Bunny Rabbit.
Grandfather
Clark, we got
Joe the Bouncer.
We got Joe the Bouncer.
Yeah.
All right, so Weekend Gardener coming up one more half hour here from J.E. Wumble & Sons in beautiful Lillington here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.
right, we're back on WPTF, running out of time here. As usual, things get by the time. We just can't stop it.
I know.
Can I just say
that we have plenty of pansies and plenty of snapdragons and
you
plenty
can say whatever
of,
you want.
And plenty, excuse me, and plenty of the Christmas Carol camellias and everything you could need to get your yards ready for
you said
winter.
Snapdragons were really pretty.
The snaps are the prettiest they've ever been, and they're deer resistant. And in our zone now, I think they're going to go all winter anyway, but I think they're going to stay in bloom all winter.
Nice. And that Christmas Carol camellia.
Yes.
You have enough of those to go around.
We do.
You better hurry out there and get them, though, because that's going to be a seller.
It is.
Yeah. How big does it get?
Let me look and see, and I'll let
you
know.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because there are a lot of different sizes of camellias, just like there are a lot of colors and and varieties.
I'll let you know in one second.
Well, I hope it gets big, because I'm getting older.
Now, Rufus, you were just showing me a Rufus tomato, and there are a lot of variations of Rufus tomatoes now.
Yeah, well, this is the Gerald Adams, and, of course, we've got Craig LeHoulier, who has a variety of the Rufus tomato. Okay. I think it's pretty neat to have a tomato named after you.
I think so. Yeah.
For sure.
And that was a pretty one. So is that big enough to cover a slicer. Cover some Wonder Bread?
Yeah. You wanted to say pumpernickel.
I did. Well, that was just, as I said, I mean, this is show business. And we've got to spark conversation. And that's all I was doing with it. But it's a must to have the bacon in there. I wouldn't want the pumpernickel or the tomato unless the bacon was in there.
I agree with you.
Okay. Or the Duke's mayonnaise.
And lettuce this time of year should be abundant as well, because that's something that you should be growing now.
We have plenty of lettuce.
Right.
Yeah, and so lots of different kinds.
A little bit of lettuce, but tomato is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yummy.
Hey, Gary Stevenson, the chief meteorologist over at Spectrum, has been on the show with us. He loves gardening, and he had a volunteer tomato he talked about last time he was on the show this summer, and he was hoping it was going to produce something, but he just sent me a picture. He said, sadly, it did not produce any more tomatoes.
Huh.
So when you say volunteer, was it a seed that came up from a hybrid tomato?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if you can see that as among some flowers.
Because I had somebody ask me a question just last week about that. Called me at home and asked, and they said, you know, last year we had a cherry tomato, and they said that we saved two cherries off of it at the very end, and then we planted the whole thing, and then this spring we did get some tomatoes to come up. Well, I wouldn't expect squash, right? But some tomatoes came up, and they said, but they didn't do anything in the spring, but then here in the fall they've started really coming on. But they said they were surprised because they said they don't have cherry tomatoes on it. They have a larger, almost a pear shape. And I said, well, that's a common phenomenon. If you're looking at hybrid plants, they're going to revert back to one of the parents.
Exactly, just like the roses.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what you're seeing. If it's an heirloom, open pollinated plant, then it'll stay true. And there are cherries that do stay true, but obviously that person did not have one of those.
Right.
And so it's a common thing. But the good thing about it is it still is a tomato, and you can still eat that tomato.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
Good for you if you don't include the bread and the bacon and the mayonnaise.
And mayonnaise on both sides.
That's right. That's the only one.
That's important. I usually put peanut butter on both sides of my bread. My wife says she's never seen anybody do that before, but I'm sure it's very common.
My wife does it.
See?
She does.
Yeah. She must be a sweet gal. Come all the way over here. Bring Chris Hooks that salve.
Yeah.
What? No, we're just talking about his wife bringing you that salve, how sweet she is to do that. So we've got Steve on the line. Steve is our daylily expert. You got a meeting tomorrow, Steve?
No, we had our last meeting last weekend. And we lived up to our name of our garden, and we bought some plants, and I added four more daylilies to my garden. So I planted some daylilies yesterday.
So instead of just one more, it's just four more?
Yeah, it's four more, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked
out.
Right. I accidentally left my Amazon on, and when I reinitiated my phone, there was a message from Rufus. And
what?
I said, how did Rufus get my email address? And then I found out that Rufus is the AI for Amazon.
I think there is a conflict of interest there, Rufus, and you
and they named it Rufus.
That's right.
I'm sitting there going, what in the world did they call it Rufus for?
You say, hey, Rufus.
They probably owe me millions and billions of dollars.
Well, you're a lawyer. You can do something about it.
Oh, my God. I wonder if they spell it backwards, suffer. No,
it's not that way. You got to say, hey, Rufus.
Oh, my God.
I meant to say something about that.
That's frightening.
It is. It is frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to wait until it warms up a little bit to go back outside and do some gardening.
Yeah,
it's still kind of nippy in the shade out there.
I had to
cut down my China berry tree.
Huh.
That variegated chinaberry I got from, what's his name?
I don't know. I have the same trouble.
Yeah, the guy that does the imported plants.
Tony.
Tony Avent. Yeah, I got that from him, and it's lasted 15, 20 years. But I had a big branch come down and almost break my big tree in half, and I said I can't do that anymore. So I finally got rid of it.
Hey, darling.
But we found out my wife has cancer.
Oh, I'm so,
so
sorry.
We're going to be dealing with that for the
next couple
of months.
Oh,
if not longer.
Well,
but anyway,
our prayers.
Prayers
to her.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. Our prayers to her.
Okay.
Well,
you
Steve,
have a
take
good
care,
time
buddy.
With Monica.
Yeah, we need to get up. She's been busy this morning. We need to get up with her.
Well, anyway, love you guys. We're listening.
You too.
Thanks
all right.
For
take
to
care.
Talk to you.
All right, we're going to take a break and come
speak
back with
the
Paul.
Devil.
Yeah,
my Rufus, race car driver friend here.
Rufus has these glasses.
I love glasses.
Just beat everything you got.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on? More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. J.E. Wobble and Sons in Lillington. All right, we're back on WPTF this has been such a quick show, such a fun show. We're at J.E. Wumble and Sons with the Weekend Gardener this morning. And I don't know if we've got Monica yet or not, but all right. So, yeah, let's go to Paul. Paul, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Hey, morning, Mike. Morning, Rufus. Morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul. What's going on at Window? Did you have a good garden this year? I said we've seen you recently.
You know what? I did okay. I'm still got peppers coming in. And
oh, what kind?
Got
you got hot peppers or?
I have a Megatron jalapeno that is blazing, and I've got quite a few. I still got Tabascos. I'm picking for Rufus.
And oh, good. I know it. I got my last ones too, Paul.
Okay. I got some Carolina Gold tomatoes that are still producing, and I got a couple of Cherokee Purples that are still producing.
Huh.
Yeah. Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything's beautiful out here. I'm still recovering from the golf tournament last weekend.
Yeah, I bet so. How did that go with the wind, particularly the wind? Y'all got a little bit of rain, I suppose.
Well, Friday was wonderful, but it was a little windy, not bad. And I've got a sign in my hand, you know, so it's like the wind is my big foe.
Yeah, trying to stay on the ground.
Yeah, Saturday. Well, I have to carry it up above my head.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, and I got to change the score every time their guy's score changes. So, you know, it's a lot to do. But
yeah.
Sunday was brutal. It never really stopped raining at all, and it was windy. At least it wasn't cold, but it was pretty miserable. And my guys were not playing very well either. Yeah. And it was my last fast championship. So, after 22 years, I'm done. Anyway, but I did have a good time still, and you know, it's fun.
Well, I am thankful. I am thankful that you had a good time, at least.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about Steve's wife. I really am.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, our listeners are like family, and they have been following the show, literally. I mean, coming to our remotes and things since we started doing remotes in the late 80s. And so, everybody's like family here, including the professor over here from Fayetteville. We send out a prayer to her.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I just wanted to call and say hi. And
thank you, Paul.
Yeah, you betcha. And you know what? I'll leave you with a little saying. Be childlike and not childish.
Right.
Okay. Everybody is a philosopher on this show. For goodness sake.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. That's good.
One more little quick thing. I've got a French bulldog named Rumpel. And this morning I called him Rufus, and my wife just went,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, I love
Well, that's an apropos name, I would say, for
French bulldog.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Man. Well, take care, guys.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have a gentleman that has just brought in some tomatoes. Did these tomatoes just come up volunteer?
I had last year.
Uh-huh.
Share the mic with you a little bit here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd be a commercial.
No. We want to know about these tomatoes.
But it just showed up, and after I saw that it flowered, I started watering about once a week with some tomato fluid.
Now, is this something you had last year?
No, I didn't have them. I had some store-bought that were going bad, and I just pissed out in the dirt.
Oh, love it. I love it.
And then the next year, I seen a plant coming up. Then it got taller than me. So
aren't you industrious?
I said, well, let me just go ahead and...
It kind of looks like aroma, but then there's some that are
I was hoping
around
y'all
it.
Would be at
That's great.
In Lillington... before they went bad, so...
Well, that's great.
Well, they look perfect.
What I like is this one that's already ripe, and then the little green ones on the end. That's,
right.
I mean, it's just, it's unique.
So would that take all of those to make a sandwich for you, Gary? Or?
I don't know. These two or three of these larger ones might do the trick.
What you
right
do
there.
Is you take a bite of the tomato and a bite of the bread.
Well, that's unique, and you got to dip your finger into the mayonnaise. How about
oh,
that?
I bet they're good.
Yeah,
yeah we
because
thank
they look
you.
Like a cross between a cherry and a.
So have you tried? Have you eaten any of them?
He said they're very sweet.
Nice. Yeah. That's extraordinary. It really is.
Well, I can't wait to try them.
Thank you. We'll try them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We'll eat those on the way
You're
back.
You're so kind. It's great.
We take the heirloom variety grape tomatoes that are very prolific. And we usually plant them around our property. We have about 30 acres or so. We plant them in different places around the property, and they'll come back year after year. And we don't even pick them. But we'll leave them. The box turtles like these things. Squirrels like them. So there's other, you know, possums and things like that like them. So there's wildlife comes in. It's a good wildlife food. Comes back year after year.
Right.
And so,
I'm not going to feed any darn squirrels.
I like to fatten those squirrels up.
So they can't jump?
No. So so we can eat with them later.
Oh, okay. I get your drift.
Did you say we had Monica?
Yeah. I don't know what in the world happened. Miss Monica is so – yeah, we keep trying to get in touch with her, and she has texted me, and I don't know. What's going on? But this may be the first time in the history
I remember
we've never haven't had her on.
Yeah.
So that's too bad. Well, that's busy, and I'm sure she's got something going on with the fair too. I think they usually have an exhibit out there. Gary, anything else on your list?
I think it's pre-emergent herbicides.
Pre-emergent
herbicides this time of year for winter annual
like
weeds.
Chickweed,
hen bit. People come along in the spring. What is this? Well, we could have stopped it if we'd done something in the fall.
Yeah.
And so putting out pre-emergent Wommels not only has your seed and your fertilizer, but your pre-emergent herbicide for those that have established lawns and don't want to deal with those. And what I found is if you can knock those things back for a couple years and keep them mowed down. A lot of people, we talked earlier about not putting ryegrass on top. Well, and that's great. That's how I advocate that. But if you still need to mow those weeds, if the weeds come up, mow them. Don't let them go to seed. And a lot of times people will let chickweed, especially henbit, go to seed, not mow it. And then there's your fresh crop for next year, a perpetual crop.
Now, Rufus, you have campaigned against a certain weed over the years that came from China or Japan or someplace that was apparently packing material.
Well, it's taken over everywhere.
What weed are we talking about?
Is it a tree?
It's grass.
Wait a minute, what's happened to our brains?
I don't know. None of us can think of it.
Well, I wasn't thinking.
The horrible thing.
There's a rattlesnake weed, but
no,
I didn't know
that.
Than a rattlesnake.
It looks like Japanese forest grass.
I think we all have amnesia
for
the moment.
It's everywhere around the nursery.
Oh, still grass?
Still grass.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That is a problem. But it is a very soft grass to lay in, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Is that Rufus? That might be.
Take your afternoon nap in your still grass bed.
I'll put it this way. It mows pretty well.
It does.
But you got to get it before it seeds.
Getting rid of it before the seeding is a trick?
With any of these invasive plants, the problems with a lot of these invasives is they produce massive amounts of seeds. The seeds, even though they come back from year to year, they don't always germinate next year. Sometimes they'll lay dormant for 2 or 3 or even 5 or more years. And so you have to be very diligent. If you miss it 2 or 3 years later, there'll be enough seeds from those plants to keep this process going.
Still grass. I'd never forget that.
So whether you're putting out a pre-emergent or whether you're trying to mechanically keep it harvested, like you say, before it sets seed, which is a very good approach to take, then you still have to be diligent, especially on these invasive ones like that.
So if we come to J.E. Womble, we can get some pre-emergent herbicide and put it out now?
That is correct. Usually you hit them twice in the fall, so usually September, November. And then your spring or summer weeds, like your crabgrass, you're going to hit it February, April.
All right. Let's go to Miss Monica real quick. We're running out of time, Miss Monica. You must have been really busy this morning.
It's okay. It happens. So
we only got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yes. So everybody come out to the market. As always, we're open. Of course, the state fair is going on, and we're one of those places you may want to stop in before or after and just take a break from all the hustle and bustle at the state fair. But we've got so many great things at the market. Of course, we still have lots and lots of pumpkins, every shape and size you can imagine. The mums, if you're having a fall festival or a party or just need a few decorations for your porch, we've got just what you need. Or maybe you want to make a pumpkin pie. We have apples, all different varieties of apples, and so much more. Of course, we still have some of the summer harvest hanging on, like your tomatoes, squash. Even saw a few watermelons still hanging in there this week.
Nice.
All right. Plantings. And green beans. Saw some beautiful green beans. Of course, the peppers.
Wow.
From
no butter beans or peas. I assume no butter beans or peas.
There's been a few popping in here and there, but they're about done with for those. But there's check it out. And then squash, zucchini, we have all those things still. Sweet potatoes, collards, and of course there's still a great selection of shrubbery and houseplants. as well as pansies and some fall vegetable plants. And hop up to the market shop. There's meats, cheeses, jams, jellies, barbecue sauces, and of course you can grab a fresh squeezed orangeade or lemonade, coffee. Two great restaurants, State Farmers Market Restaurant and the Seafood Restaurant, and of course the Market Grill with the Rufus Dog. We have Superside and the Hunter Pork Center and Logan's. And so it's a full garden center there where you can find all that you need if you're looking to get out and do a little bit of work in your yard.
Great. When is Craft Show coming up? Craft Show.
The Craft Fair is February. February. Where am I at? November the 14th through the 16th.
Okay.
And so that'll be here before we know it, and it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Do you all have an exhibit at the State Fair, or have you gone out to the fair?
Yes. Yes.
I thought you did.
We set up a couple of different, I guess you could say, a couple of different little mini farmers markets for exhibits there just to promote farmers markets across the state. We do the one in the Dorton Arena where the Got to Be NC Pavilion is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, a few of our vendors are in there, so be sure to check it out when you go there. And also at the Field of Dreams, which is so much fun for the kids. There's like a garden with different things growing where they can see how peas grow, how corn grows, that sort of thing. And they get a little basket, get to put some produce in it, and then they take it to the market and turn that in, and then they get to go get a little gift bag. So it's like they're harvesting, and then they're taking it to the market to sell, and then they get a little gift bag to go home with. So
nice.
A lot of fun.
That's
there.
A lot of fun.
So be sure to check out that and all the other great things as you're going to the fair. And don't forget that we're still open. We're 7 days a week as usual, and best selection 9 to 5 daily.
Well, we got it in. That I was so worried that, that it would be the first time we haven't had y'all on in the time that I've done the show. So I'm tell people to leave you alone for a few minutes.
Oh, it's okay. It's just one of those mornings for me. I'll put it that way. But it's all good. And
you take care of yourself.
Yes, right. That's
yes, most ma'am.
Thing.
Yes. Yes.
Right. All right, well, Miss Monica,
morning,
you take
too,
care.
So,
it is.
It's fall weather.
I know.
It's
I love
gorgeous.
It. Well, you take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a great one.
Take care.
Ma'am. Bye. Monica Wood out of the State Farmers Market. She's the manager. Gary Pierce, thank you so much, buddy.
Certainly.
You got a promise to be on with us if
absolutely.
You can the next time we're here in the spring or fall, or I mean spring or summer, whenever we're here. And you know, if we can get you on otherwise, we'd like to do that too.
The first weekend in December, we'll have open house at the nursery.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you
love
and your wife ought
to
come up and join us. We'll keep you updated.
It's like a little
that.
Village.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd love it.
Hey, Brother Rufus, you take care. You take those devil glasses home with you.
I got them.
All right, bye. Thanks to J.E. Wumble and Sons. Mr. Wumble, thank you so much for hooking us up with Brother Gary. All right.